Okay? Testing? Testing? Thank you for doing that, John. All right, 4 May. Did not know it by outside. I can't believe it's so cold and rainy, and the paper said a year ago yesterday it was 90 right here, and here it was in the 60s. This is just not good. I don't know what it is. It's that El Nino or whatever to blame. And coming down from New York, that could be it. I'm going to be gone to Tucson, Arizona to teach, and that will be, I don't have my calendar, but it seems like it's the first, I will leave right after church on Sunday. We will not miss a Sunday, but it seems like it's the 6th of, what's the 6th of June, Jim? Monday, okay. So the conference starts on the 6th. So we will not have class 7th and 8th of June. And I will be there. Got a couple of things here. My grandson was visiting. This is a grandmother, obviously. My grandson was visiting one day. When he asked, "Grandma, do you know how you and God are alike?" I mentally polished my halo while I smiled and asked, "No, how are we alike? You're both old." And then the one I like is a public speaker, because it's good. The speaker, had such a severe case of butterflies in his stomach, he broke out in a cold sweat. "When I got here tonight, both God and I knew what I was going to say. Now, only God knows." Sometimes that happens. I've heard so many fun stories about preachers. Young guy out of seminary, and he was speaking in the church for the first time, and he was taught in seminary, you're taught that you want to do, "Hey, how you doing?" And you're taught to begin with a big push, public speaking. And I just read a little joke about this preacher, new preacher, and he said, he was filled with butterflies and on. He said, "When I got here tonight, both God and I knew what I was going to say, but now only God knows." But this one preacher, they teach in seminary these kind of things, so you start off with a real bang to get everybody's attention, and you hold them. So he was sitting there thinking, "How can I do this?" So the preacher announced, the visiting preacher, so he jumps up, and he goes to the edge of the platform, and he said, "Behold, I come quickly!" And everybody's just sitting there. And he thought, "Man, this is dying." So he said, "I'm going to try this again." So he sits down, he comes, "Behold, I come quickly!" And still, no response. He said, "Wow, I've got to work on this." So he went back and sat down, and he jumps up, and he runs, "Behold, I come quickly!" And he fell right into this woman's lap. And he says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." She said, "Hey, you warned me 3 times." They're a lot of fun stories. Let's open the Bible. I had great studies in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. This is one of those kind of deals. Getting ready to go to Tucson. I'm excited about it. John and I always have a wonderful time. I love teaching his people. They're responsive. We have a good week together. And dealing with what do I want to teach. And I've really enjoyed the study on divine discipline and the love of God. And or the 3 days in Job. So I don't know what I'm going to do, because I'm overwhelmed by the study of Job. But let's begin with a word of prayer. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to introduce the rest of the book. The players are now going to be introduced tonight. From here on out, for most of the book, it's going to be Job and his three friends. Then we'll have one more player come in. That'll be Elihu, who will be the Christ type. And God is going to talk. That's when we want to listen. But we're going to have all these players come in, and tonight we're going to meet the rest of the cast, Job and his three friends. We've met Job, and so tonight we're going to come into the study on friendship. Got some unbelievable things I want to share with you in the study in dealing with friendship. And because I'm not just talking about friends, but I'm talking about husband and wife being friends. I'm talking about how wonderful it is a man and woman marry their friend. It's not too many people do that, and that's a wonderful thing to marry your friend. Let's begin with a word of prayer. One of the most wonderful things, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ says to us is that He is our friend. We are friends of Christ. That's personal. That's powerful, Father. It's a wonderful relationship. And so, Heavenly Father, tonight is your study. Pray that your Spirit will start us on a journey of understanding friendships. That's how these men are going to be introduced. They're friends. I don't know, Heavenly Father, like the joke I read before, only you do, how long we'll be here in the study of these men, the friendship. But I just pray, Father, that we don't get bogged down, but that as we study these things, with each lesson we learn a little more about being a friend to our husband and wife, to friends and family, friends in the church, friends in life, romance, whatever it may be. How wonderful friendship is, how dangerous it can be. Guide us, Father. Let your Spirit open our eyes. In Christ's name, amen. Job chapter 2. First we have God and Satan in heaven. That was the scene. God and Satan in heaven debating over the man Job. So we talk that way, debating over the man Job, but he's debating over the human race, debating over us. And then another level, it looks like this, so be sure we get all this down. Here is God and Satan are in this debate, and they are debating over the man, and the man's name is Job. But we've seen now that Job represents the human race. Job, and also we've seen, not only does it represent Job, first of all, himself, then it represents the human race, which, by the way, includes you and I. And then three, it represents Jesus Christ. God and Satan debating over man, Job, the man Job, therefore mankind, the human race, over the man, Jesus Christ. And we want to kind of keep that flowing in our study. So then we saw Satan and Job. Satan starts working on Job. No conversation. Satan just works on his body. Then we have the next conversation was Job and his charming wife. And so we spent some time on her encouraging words. Curse God and die. Now we begin and we come to Job and his three friends, counselors. And with the coming of his three friends, Job's inner torment just begins. What a tragedy. I'm going to do a lot of personal exhorting, exhorting you. Don't do that to a friend. If worse comes to worse, just tell them kindly, you've got to move on. But Job's torment, people, just began. You thought it was rough with his wife. You saw that last week. Well, that's nothing compared to these men and what they're going to do. All right, let's first of all read Job chapter 2. 11 through 13, and kind of get into our mind or the opening scene of the rest of the book, most of the rest of the book. Now, there's that now again. Now, when Job's three friends, boy, what a beautiful way to be introduced. Three friends. This is his friend. This is their title. His wife, verse 9, his friends, verse 11. Job gets help from nobody. All right. Now Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him. They came each one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar. People, before we're through, you're going to be dreaming about Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. You're not going to want to hear their names anymore. And but these are the men. And they made an appointment together to come. Now, that's an interesting thing that the Holy Spirit would put in, the eternal word, isn't it? They made an appointment together. Okay. They made an appointment together to come to do two things. Sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance, didn't even recognize him. The scene was so horrible. They raised their voices. They knew it was bad by report. But sometimes you can hear a report, and then when you see it, you just, the mind can't vision it. But when they saw him, even at a distance, they raised their voices and cried aloud. Each of them tore his robe. Now, that's a custom in the ancient world, in the Eastern world. Don't get too involved with that. And tore his robe, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. I'm glad we don't do these kind of customs too much anymore, but these are customs that were done. Verse 13. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days, 7 nights, with no one speaking a word. Too bad they didn't stay that way. Too bad they just didn't stay silent. For they saw that his pain was very great. It would have been nice had they remained silent. It would have been nice had his wife remained silent. It would really have been nice if his friends had remained silent. And I'm going to have to tell you something, getting ready for chapter 3. It would have been nice if Job had remained silent. But we don't see that very often, do we? Principle. Right up front. It's an old principle. Every one of you has heard it. If you don't have anything nice to say, keep silent and pray. If you don't have anything nice to say, just keep silent and pray. Keep your mouth shut. Stay in the spirit and pray. It's the best thing you can do. If you're going to pray, first you pray for yourself. Get yourself oriented to the Holy Spirit. Why don't you have anything nice to say? You have a lot of nice things to say. Wisdom and how to encourage another believer. But first you want to go be silent. Pray, first you want to pray for yourself. It tells you something about yourself. And then pray for the person. Okay, let's get to that verse. I have a lot of fun here. Now when Job's three friends heard of all of this adversity that had come upon him, they came each one to his own place, and they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. Now, I want to say right now, we will not go over each of these men and where they're from. There's too much. We would be here a long time. What I want to do is we'll deal with each one of the men when we come to them. I don't want to give you a whole dossier now, but forget it. And then repeat it all again. So when we come to each of these men, then we will learn about them and where they're from and why that has so much to do with what they're saying, when they open their mouths and things. So we'll deal with that. If you don't mind, we'll deal with that later. But number 3 should be a warning But this is not going to be good. Three is the number of the cross. In so many ways. Three crosses, 3 hours, to this, all the things we've studied. Let's take a look at the title. We're called friends. A beautiful, powerful word in any language. The Hebrew word is rare. Like this. And that's a friend. Now, this word in the Hebrew has a wide range of meanings, of applications, better word for it, from everywhere from an associate, up way to a husband, a wife, a lover, a close friend, a companion. It has a large, wide gamut of application, and I think, I hope you're beginning to see, as we studied language, both Greek and Hebrew, that a lot of these words are just not kind of pinpointed. They depend on the context, and on the person doing the study and the Holy Spirit guiding him, what a lot of the words mean. We're going to look at friendship a little later, but for the record, this is very important, what I'm getting ready to say, and laying the groundwork for the whole rest of the book. These four men are friends. They think the same way. That's what I want you to bear in mind. That's why they're friends. Job thought the same way they did before he starts this journey. Please get that in your mind. But Job thinks the same way they did. The God of retribution and all these things that we're studying and we'll be looking at. Job was there before he starts this journey. He thought like they do about God. But now one of these four friends, people, is being cut out from the others. Job is getting ready to go through a great and difficult journey. His friends will not understand. They will not understand him in this journey, and they will judge him. One day, they think he's the most spiritual person on earth. Now they're doubting it because they don't understand, and they're going to judge him. They don't understand what's going on. Something happens, listen please, something happens to a friendship. When one member of that friendship starts to change in the fundamental basis of that friendship. That's a cold, hard fact of life. It's just a cold, hard fact of life. You've got your friends, you think alike, and one of them starts to go on a different journey. Flee on the side of the world. And we've seen movies and stories and making our own lives. We've got friendships and then things begin to change. This is a really difficult thing to handle. It's a difficult thing to sort through, to go through. You really have to stand back and decide. Is where are people? There's no way I can tell you the heaviness of this. I thought through here, do I do like Paul and get personal? I don't know if I will or not. But please listen to this. You say very carefully about what you're going to do. You have to decide, is where I'm going with what I'm going to lose? Is where I'm going worth losing, my friends? That's a tough place to be. We'll never come to the truth. How to be filled with the Spirit, because they cannot give up where they have been most of their life, where their parents have been, where their friends are. They cannot pay that price, and they're not going to, and they will not go to truth because of the cost. and it will often cost. Deal. This is very, it's a tough question. And the how to deal with it. And even if you know what you have to, even if you know, let me tell you something, it still hurts. And you see yourself every day. Second guess yourself every day. Especially as it starts to mount pressure. If you will remember the fundamental principle in our study of the most important principles of that study was something precious has to die to learn to walk by faith. And sometimes that's a relationship. And that's tough. And a lot of people won't do that. Whatever they're holding on, they're not going to let go. Not going to have that happen. So for right now, just remember that these four men don't act just the way they did before this began. And what starts happening with Job. Job is the center of this conflict that we're dealing with. God's getting ready to open his eyes. It happened to Paul. Happens to a lot of believers in history. They're going along. Everyone thinks you're a great Baptist. Everyone thinks you're a great Roman Catholic. Everyone thinks you're a great Methodist. Whatever it is. Signs and all things. And then God says, no, I'm going to cut you out. I'm going to cut you out from the herd. And I'm going to show you the truth. And it's tough. It's not a fun journey. The loopings that you've had, family, friends, the whole deal, the whole package. And you have to, and these kind of things. This is, those three friends are not, Job's gone crazy, Job's this, Job's that. And boy, he's doing some really big sinning, and all kinds of speculations of what's happening to Job, with no understanding. God is dealing with this man to bring him to the truth, into the light. But because Job doesn't even know, people, Job doesn't even know what's happening. Those that. Now, Job's three friends. All this adversity that had come upon him. The Hebrew word for adversity is used, as the last word we looked at, to what? All the way to evil. What you and I understand is true evil. That which is gospel just enough to distort it. This one word is a herd. Your quality. Something that is severe, adversity, affliction, calamity. Now in our study, you know, it was first then the loss of loved ones, his family, his servants, his staff. Job's three friends heard of the loss of Job, loss of his possessions, his staff, and now they heard of his physical afflictions. I don't think they heard of it, but I doubt it. That was between Job and his wife. Holy Spirit let us in on it. But the word, talk about it just for a moment. And the reason that is so wonderfully remarkable. Man and woman, mankind. Man has not changed since Adam and Eve at the garden. We have not changed. What has changed is technology. That's all that's changed. Medicine. Communication. My personal belief that technology has swept the soul of man. Man cannot handle and can do today. Hope, love. And then do that. All these kinds of things. The technology is passing up into it. These kinds of things we cannot have. And what we're doing here, the dealing with that quickness of communication and so many things in front. People, in a sense of pressure, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go to a couple acres, Montana, the middle of nowhere. And him. Mother, I took her out of the funeral. In the first few years of the 20th century, and then died. The automobile, the airplane, the communication, just basic things, the cell phones, restaurants, where they're talking on the cell, and just things. Just in medicine, and I had friends talking about different things that she had done with us in medicine, and I said, you know, it didn't change you. Your love never changed, and you were always at home, and you were always a mom. But the medicine. The message put out of ways. Number one, gospel out. Caravans were sent to Israel, burn the earth of Israel, and then buy some of the wine, or they'd take this, and then they would travel. And these caravan people, and it just goes on and on and on. The way. And then I went over to the 5-star hotel, the hotel in Nairobi. And they're called the Stanley Hotel. An old hotel, but it's got touched up. some kind of a coffee shop. But a lot of beautiful. Oh, well, putting on it. I miss you, but I had to go on. And nobody looked to on it. And when they came, I broke it off and read it. Not on the bad, but lovers would leave notes when we'll meet again or something like that, or when they'll be this type of thing. What's so remarkable is that his else is male. And see later when we find out why Joe died, but he will take pride on how he was so well. Really feared God. So when this man, just like the day, we don't know the news and paper and TV. Except for where it leads. Third, they came. This is wonderful. Most friends, when they hear you have really suffering, a Job, they stay away. They get out of there. Or then they call. When another believer is at church, this into a lot. talk to people, and I'm... to say they don't know. Here's a friend, a mother, and we're going to have things happen. In your comfort and encouragement. Comfort and or encouragement. In fact, just to see you. one from his own God.